Welcome to the University of Limerick Research Impact podcast series. I'm joined today by Dr. Catherine Naughton. Catherine completed her PhD under the supervision of Professor Orla Muldoon and Dr. Aisling O'Donnell in the Department of Psychology and the Centre for Social Issues Research. She currently works as a postdoctoral researcher in the School of Law at UL. Catherine is exploring the impact of growing up in a home with domestic violence on young people. Catherine, can you expand a bit more on the problems you're looking to tackle here?
Back in the 70s, the first social scientists started to look at the area of domestic violence. And domestic violence involves behaviours such as physical behaviours, psychological behaviours, financial and sexual. And when they were doing their research, they found that a lot of people who were either victims or perpetrators of domestic violence had grown up in homes with domestic violence. So that there was a huge link between experiencing domestic violence as a child between your parents and actually becoming a perpetrator or victim. So most of the research to date has looked at young children and has concentrated or focused on physical domestic violence because that's more easily definable and the consequences like broken bones and bruises are very visible. But more recently, the qualitative research, that's interviews with children and young people, have shown that actually children are exposed to a wide variety of types of domestic violence. So we wanted to see if actually that was also true for the children. So most of the research looks at very young children, with the research that looks at the older children, so the age group of 17 to 25, tending to focus on their own victimization or perpetration within their intimate relationships. We were interested to see how this impacts on their well-being, so their psychological well-being, things like their self-esteem, their anxiety levels, that kind of thing. So we also wanted to see, because research shows there's a wide variety of differences within the children who are exposed to the same levels and frequency of domestic violence. So we wanted to see, maybe are there some protective factors that can explain why different children are impacted differently? So we went about that in two ways. First, we did a large online survey where we asked the University of Limerick students to age between 17 and 25 to respond to a list of behaviours, whether they occurred at their home, relating to items that captured, for example, what we termed as psychological, like where one parent humiliates the other, such as, you know, they swear, yell, scream, threaten, or call them names such as fat, stupid, idiot, bitch, that kind of thing. We also looked at controlling behaviours, so where one parent maybe has prevented the other parent from doing things, like leaving the house, you know, visiting friends, isolated them from their family, or monitoring their phones and internet use. And things that one parent might have done to intimidate or induce fear in the other parent, such as harming a family pet, or, you know, physically, you know, smashing a door or breaking a picture, things like that would induce fear. But we also looked at more physical, the traditional looked items, such as one parent hitting, pulling hair, shoving, punching, kicking, or using deadly weapons, such as a knife, guns. And when we looked at that, what we saw statistically, that there was two very different dimensions. So one, the items that fitted into the physical, and the other, the psychological. Now, psychological, as you heard from me naming out the things, encapsulates both emotional, verbal, mental. There's so many different names out there for these forms of abuse. So once we have statistical evidence that there was two distinct elements or dimensions of domestic violence, we could then go and look and see which dimension actually resulted in damaging effects for the young people. So what we saw was that 20% of the young people reported that they had grown up in homes where physical elements had occurred. But all that 20%, including an extra 37%, so in total 57%, reported psychological abuse. And when we looked at how that exposure to psychological abuse related to the damaging effects on their self-esteem, on their anxiety levels and social functioning, we saw that it was the psychological dimension that caused that results, with the physical not including any additional impact. Now, I just want to clarify that. When you look at the physical on its own, those 20% that had physical, yes, they did have negative effects. But when you accounted for psychological, it didn't exist anymore. It was the psychological that accounted for it. So basically in previous research, where they looked at that effect of the physical, they found this effect. But we've shown that actually that effect is due to the psychological. The next step then, we actually went and looked at, well, maybe what factors, you know, help, because not all children were impacted negatively. So we looked at family bonds. Now, this might be a little very Irish because our families are very important in Ireland. And what we found was, and maybe this is somewhat paradoxical, but if the young people had strong family bonds with the extended family, so they felt that they were part of that family and belonging to that family, well, then that acted as a beneficial psychological resource for them. It gave them a sense of meaning. It gave them, you know, a sense of belonging. And they fared better despite having been exposed to the domestic violence than those who had weak bonds. So this is really important in terms of policy and for the general population to know, because part of domestic violence, the dynamics of domestic violence, which I mentioned earlier, is that parents, the victims and the children tend to be isolated from their extended family. So if extended family understand that by re-engaging with these young people, they can act as a protective element, just making them feel that they belong and providing them with a source of support, it can have hugely beneficial things. But I really need to stress that those relationships need to be positive. That is really important, because that brings me on to another study that we did where we interviewed district court judges. And what we found with the district court judges, they tended to idealise our nuclear family. And that's back to our society, where in our constitution, the family is paramount. But in that idealising of the nuclear family, they tended to promote access and joint custody. And when allegations of domestic violence were brought up, that didn't marry with, you know, this idea. So the judges tended to ignore, trivialise and, you know, minimise the impact of domestic violence and not see how it was relevant to the children. They actually tended to portray that women went into court and exaggerated domestic violence to get the upper hand, so to manipulate the court system. Now, this is really important because the judges were intelligent people who did want the best interests of the child. But you have these cognitive biases that maybe subconsciously are getting in the way. So they really need to have education around the relevance of domestic violence. And maybe it is possible that the judges have stereotyped, like we do in general society, stereotyped victims of domestic violence as meek and passive. And when they come into court and in the safety of court, fight for the rights of the children, that doesn't marry with this victimized passive stereotype that they have. So they tend to think that, okay, that's being exaggerated because this particular woman in front of me wouldn't, in inverted commas, allow that kind of behaviour to happen to her. So that's really important from a policy point of view and for the general public to be aware of.
How widespread is this issue in Ireland? And then as a follow-up, how do you see this research impacting policy or how NGOs operate or how we can best support children in these situations?
So this is really important. We know that domestic violence is a very prevalent phenomenon. Now, we have figures ranging from 1 in 3 to 1 in 5, but we do know that domestic violence is underreported, and that's down to the dynamics of domestic violence. It's a stigmatized phenomenon and people don't want to talk about it, and particularly the psychological element, because we tend to portray, when I say the word domestic violence, people immediately think of the physical violence. But as my research shows, the psychological violence is really important. Women in domestic violence situations that are psychological don't tend to think of it as domestic violence. We have that from research. But our research also shows that the children don't. We did interviews with 14 of the young people who took part in the larger survey. And where they could clearly see that the physical domestic violence was wrong, and there was generally a clear perpetrator and victim, the psychological wasn't so clear-cut. And they knew that it wasn't what their idealised parents' relationship should be, but yet they hadn't the language to see that was wrong. So it causes huge conflict, and they weren't able to talk about it. And we know that it's really important to recover from any traumatic event to be able to talk about it and to gain social support. So it's really important that we open up the conversation about psychological domestic violence and psychological abuse in general, so that people are aware that they have the language, they can link how they're feeling to what is happening, and they're able to deal with it, and that conflict is removed.
So Catherine, I think many listeners will be affected by your research and what you're shedding light on here today. Have you any advice for people dealing with this situation?
This is really important because we know the prevalence rates are very high. So this is going to resonate with a lot of people out there. So it's really important that you contact Women's Aid. They will put you in contact with the relative supports that you would need. But here I would also like to say that this is not just a woman's issue, that in our research we saw that men were also victims of domestic violence. The rates were lower, but that's not to take from their experiences. And there is a support service out there for them called Amen, and they can contact that and get relevant information as well.
So Catherine, where to from here for you personally in terms of your research?
At the minute I'm working as a postdoctoral researcher on the Greentown study in the School of Law, where I'm looking at the adult influences on youth offending. But I would hope to renew my research in domestic violence and its impacts on children. As I have said, there's quite a lot of work to be done. So it will be a matter of me trying to get funding, the appropriate funding to do that.
What do you see the potential impact of this research being?
This research has huge potential to impact on and inform policy, especially around the legal system and also how we support families that are caught up in domestic violence. But we know too that mental health issue is a huge issue. So this research is really important to inform the whole youth mental health area.
You've been listening to Dr. Catherine Naughton, who shared her research into domestic violence in young people. If you're affected by this story, we encourage you to contact your local support services. Catherine is a postdoctoral researcher at the School of Law, and she is a recipient of the UL40 PhD scholarship from the Faculty of Education and Health Sciences here at the University of Limerick. If you'd like to find out more about research impact, go to our website, ul.ie/researchimpact.